Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Today is Monday, April the 4th, 2020. It's been a while since I made an episode, and today's episode is going to cover Will Smith projects, some of them being placed on hold. There's an issue with the Thomases, Clarence Thomas and his wife. Their involvement indirectly or directly in the insurrection on January the 6th of last year. And we're going to cover the billions of dollars being pumped into Ukraine that's being invaded, or well, at war with Russia. We're going to cover these three topics once we return from the short break. Peace. All right, when you're back on with Listen to L Boogie, we're going to jump right into our first bit of news. Excuse me. Several Will Smith projects allegedly being placed on hold after the Oscar slap. The aftermath of the slap for Will Smith continues to be a rocky road. Smith made several apologies for his actions. On stage, when he accepted his Oscar win, afterwards to Chris Rock, and finally one where he resigned from the Academy. However, despite his apologies, actions continue to be taken from organizations that work closely with Smith. After resigning his membership from the Academy, SAG announced that they have been in contact with the Academy and ABC to appropriately address the situation within their own membership. The conflicting responses from the Academy of Smith's actions and what happened in response that night also brought to light issues within the Oscars organization and how they might react in future events. Rock, whom Smith slapped after he made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, addressed the slap briefly before a comedy show, but said he eventually addressed the night and Smith with time. While the future of Smith's career immediately following this weekend remains uncertain, below are some insights into how projects currently in development are going. The Hollywood Reporter reported that Netflix has allegedly slowed down the development of Smith's Fast and Loose. Multiple factions may have contributed to the decision. The attached director, David Leitch, reportedly backed out of the project a week before the Oscars to work on Ryan Gosling's Fall Guy. Without a director attached in the wake of the slap, THR shared Netflix reportedly put the project on hold. THR also reported that Bad Boys 4 is allegedly on hold following the events of Sunday's ceremony, despite Smith receiving 40 pages of the script prior to the slap. Smith's Apple TV Plus drama Emancipation is currently in post-production, set to premiere sometime in 2022. However, Apple has not announced the formal release date. Okay, bro, man, having a little problems since this event. He's a good dude. My personal opinion is he's married to the wrong woman. And I guess in time he'll rectify that. He'll come to see that. That's just my opinion on it. Once we return from this short break, we're going to cover Clarence Thomas and his wife and what's going on with them being involved indirectly and directly in what happened on January the 6th of last year during the insurrection. See you guys in a minute after this short break. Peace.
Hi
Hi everyone, you're back on with us to Tell Boogie. We're gonna continue on with our with this episode. We're gonna cover Clarence Thomas' wife text spark calls for a probe into January 6th case handling. 17 advocacy groups are calling for a congressional investigation into Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas following revelations that his wife sought to have the 2020 election overturned. The groups, which include left-leaning Invisible and Move On Civic Action, request the investigation in a letter Friday to the respective chair of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. The letter is part of a growing scrutiny the conservative justice faced in response to reporting that his wife, Virginia Thomas, pressed a top White House aide to refuse to concede the 2020 presidential election. These investigations should examine whether Justice Thomas' conduct was consistent with basic principles of judiciary ethics, whether he violated federal law and his oath to impartially discharge and perform his judicial duties, and what actions must be taken in response, reads the letter addressed to Senator Dick Durbin and Representative Jerry Nadler. Mm-hmm. The letter accuses Thomas, the letter accuses Thomas of violating federal statute that blocks justices from hearing cases where their impartiality might reasonably be questioned or their spouse has an interest that could be substantially affected by the outcome of the proceeding. Earlier this year, the Supreme Court declined to hear former President Donald Trump's request to block records from being released to the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. The letter points out that Thomas was the only justice willing to hear the case, but provided no public explanation. And Virginia Thomas, who goes by Jenny, was a signatory of the letter castigating the January 6th committee. Clarence Thomas, the letter argues violated federal impartiality statutes by not recusing himself from the case. Earlier this month, Washington Post and CBS published texts from Virginia Thomas to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, repeating baseless claims that the 2020 election was stolen and other right-wing conspiracy theories. Virginia Thomas has previously stated that she was present at the rally leading up to the mob storming the Capitol on January 6th, but left early. The letter, also signed by American Atheists and the League of Conservation Voters, points to how Justice Thomas has never recused himself from a case related to his wife's running political activities and initially failed to disclose her consulting fees. Okay. Public trust in the court is already at a historic low, reads the letter. Allowing Justice Thomas to avoid scrutiny will surely cause the American people's faith in our judicial system to deteriorate further, perhaps beyond repair. Since the text messages were reported, Justice Thomas has faced growing pressure from Democratic lawmakers and others to recuse himself from future cases involving his wife's political activities and for an overhaul of the court's ethics rules. Others have called for Thomas, the court's longest serving justice, to be impeached for not recusing himself earlier. Newsweek has reached out to Justice Thomas, Durbin, and Nadler for comment. I guess they haven't returned comment. But it is wildly outrageous that a sitting Supreme Court justice's wife was at the January 6th insurrection and agreed with trying to overturn the results. That is just preposterous and totally ridiculous. And I'm quite sure the rest of the so-called quote-unquote free world is laughing, because it is really fun. It's unfathomable and unconscionable that something like this would happen, but not completely impossible. So once we return from this short break, we're going to cover the millions of dollars being poured into the Ukraine, I guess to assist the Ukrainians in their war against Russia. See you guys in a second. Peace. All right, everyone, you're back on with Listen to El Boogie. We're going to cover our last bit of news. And this news comes from the New York Times. And it is visualizing the $13.6 billion in U.S. spending on Ukraine. Congress approved $13.6 billion in emergency spending last week related to Ukraine. This actually was on March the 6th, if I'm not mistaken. Congress approves $13.6 billion in emergency spending last week related to Ukraine's fight against Russia's invasion. The money includes weapons, military supplies, and one of the largest infusion of U.S. foreign aid in the last decade. But it also covers the development of U.S. troops the deployment of U.S. troops to Europe and money for domestic agencies to enforce sanctions. Okay. Here's a breakdown of where the money will go. One, traditional foreign aid, $6.9 billion. Okay. The bill allocates $6.9 billion through traditional foreign aid channels. That includes money to strengthen the security and economy of Ukraine and to provide food, healthcare, and urgent support to both Ukrainians living in the country and those who fled. It also includes financial support for weapons purchases. That is more than the amount given to Ukraine in any year since 1994, when the U.S. Agency for International Development began tracking such figures. The $6.9 billion may include some funding that wouldn't be counted in the agency's data, which is calculated differently. Nonetheless, it is 10 times greater than the amount given to Ukraine in fiscal year 2020, the period of the latest published data. In the 2020 fiscal year, Ukraine received 6% of total U.S. foreign assistance tracked in the agency's data, making it the 17th largest recipient. It received almost 60 times as much as its neighbor, Belarus, but only a sixth of the money that went to Afghanistan, the highest recipient of American aid this year. This portion of the newly authorized package will cover a wide variety of programs, including $2.65 billion to provide food assistance and health care to Ukrainians and neighboring countries affected by the war, $1.4 billion for humanitarian support and resettlement of Ukrainian refugees. Around 3.2 million people have fled Ukraine since the invasion, according to the United States Refugee Agency. $1.12 billion to support Ukrainian's government help Ukraine's government provide economic assistance and help neighboring countries through the assistance of Europe, Eurasia, and Central Asia program. $650 million for financing programs to provide additional military support for Ukraine and other countries affected by the war. The program largely provides loans and grants to purchase U.S. weapons, equipment, and training. $647 million to Economic Support Fund that provides direct financial support and other economic assistance to Ukraine and other countries affected by the invasion. $125 million for diplomatic programs to help maintain U.S. citizens' service in the area, invest in cybersecurity, enhance the State Department capacity to identify the assets of Russians and other oligarchs, and coordinate with the Treasury Department in seizing or freezing those assets. $120 million to counter disinformation and Russian propaganda and to support independent media and activists. $100 million for food for peace grants to support commodity donations of food assistance to Ukraine and Ukrainian refugees. $30 million to continue integrating Ukraine's electric grid into Europe's. In late February, Ukraine started a 72-hour test to unlock its power grid from those of Belarus and Russia. During the trial, Russia invaded. Ukraine's electric grid has been operating in isolation until Wednesday, when the European Commission of Energy announced that technical experts had successfully connected it to Europe's. $30 million to fight international narcotics trafficking and human trafficking to Ukraine. $25 million for operations at USAID, the agency leading the U.S. humanitarian response in Ukraine. Two, military supplies. Another $3.5 billion will be used to replace military supplies the Biden administration already sent to Ukraine this year and to keep dispatching additional shipments. In times of unforeseen emergency, the president can authorize the transfer of U.S.-owned weapons, ammunition, and defense supplies without congressional approval. The $3.5 billion includes $550 million to replace supplies President Biden authorized sending in February and the first week of March. Those so-called drawdown packages included javelins and other anti-armor systems, small arms, various calibers of ammunition, and other essential non-lethal equipment. According to Congressional Research Service report published this week, the bill also allows Mr. Biden to keep sending more supplies. On Wednesday, shortly after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky delivered a virtual address to Congress, Mr. Biden announced a third package worth $800 million that would be replaced using funds approved by this bill. Third, U.S. deployments of intelligence programs, $3 billion. The U.S. also allocated $3 billion to help pay for the deployment of its own military units to allied countries in Europe. The funding will be used to transport personnel and equipment, pay deployed troops, and provide medical and intelligence support in the region. Four, finally, Congress allocated more than $175.5 million to enforce the sanctions and export control measures imposed by the U.S. to isolate Russia's economy from the international financial system. The newly authorized package will fund the following programs: $43.6 million to the FBI to investigate cyber threats, perform counterintelligence, monitor cryptocurrency activities, and establish an additional team to focus on violations of Russian sanctions. $25 million to the Treasury Department to target sanctions and analyze Russian economic vulnerabilities. $25 million to combat disinformation and support independent journalism. $22.1 million to analyze Russia's economic and trade vulnerabilities and to elect possible retaliations may have on the U.S. supply chain. Part of the money will also be used to enhance American technological infrastructure and information sharing platforms with allies. $19 million for the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, $17 million for the Departmental Office to support policy offices involved in coordinated response for Ukraine Task Force, $9.7 million for the Department of Justice Ukraine Task Force to address cybercrime threats and ransomware cases, $4 million for oversight of emergency funds and operations of USAID, $4 million for oversight of emergency funds and operations of State Department, $5 million for U.S. attorneys to prosecute sanctions violations and develop data analysts to access complex sanctions cases, and $1.1 million to the National Security Division to support the Department of Justice Task Force work on export control, sanctions, and cybersecurity cases related to the conflict. It's a lot. So America is pouring billions of dollars into Ukraine. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just laid it out to y'all guys. So, it's a lot of that money could be used for issues in our own country. I mean, it's ridiculous. In something that really don't involve the American people. But I'm assuming it's going to be worked out this November. As it's widely known that the president and vice president's numbers are approval ratings are very low. So, you know, it's just crazy. It's all this money being spent when you got, you know, people have economic issues still coming from the pandemic. It's just a lot of this money could be used to help the American people. So I guess the frustrations need to be taken out on them at the polls in November. Well, that's the end of this episode, recent episode for today, which is Monday, April the 4th, 2020. I hope you guys were informed. And I'm going to see you guys again on the next episode of Listen to L Boogie. This is my third season. And I'll see you guys the next time God leaves his footprints in the sky. Try to love each other. I know it's hard. I'll holler. Peace.